The Bible says in Luke 18, 15 through 17, it says, "And they brought him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." And these verses are encouragement to me as a preschool leader and teacher, because to God, preschoolers are important. And little children, even when other people were saying, oh no, send the children away, we don't want Jesus to be bothered, he has lots of people that he wants to minister to, Jesus was like, no, wait a minute, I want the children to come. I want to be able to help them and to teach them. And Jesus in these verses even applies that we as adults have to get down on a child's level to even be able to be saved. And it's a lot easier to see a child faith come to know him as their Savior than it is for an adult to get saved, because we have to have that childlike faith and to be like a child. And so to God, children are very important. And in the world, there's many daycares that say the preschool years, the ages 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, are their developmental life. They are the developing years of a person's life. If you can teach them to love learning, if you can teach them at 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, those years, if we can get them to really grasp different concepts, it will help them in their future and in their life. So these years are very important. And in the world, there was a statistic that was stated, and I thought it was interesting. This is from like a daycare. But it says that if the child's inner curiosity is not met with activities and answers, it could possibly diminish his or her future academic performance. But if these interests are discovered and encouraged at a young age, it will lay the groundwork for a love of learning. For instance, a child who loves scribbling and is encouraged by somebody will generally learn to write earlier than other children. Isn't that interesting? So as a parent or as a teacher of a preschooler, if we're like, wow, that scribbling is beautiful, they may have the best handwriting ever when they grow up. But this is from a world's perspective. And I thought, how interesting that they're thinking, you know, if we can get these kids to love writing and love drawing at 3, 4, and 5 years old, then how much more as Christians is our job a better, should we be like more into impacting them with the gospel and with the truth and getting that grounded in their life at those young ages. And I think the preschool is important to me because I was saved as a preschooler. I was raised in a Christian home. My father is an evangelist. And so we grew up in a travel trailer. I had 3 brothers and we all traveled together and we served together. And it was just my way of life. Was going from church to church. My mom taught the sessions for the kids' children's meetings. Every single night of my life, I was in church. And I believe that my love for children came from my mom because I watched her for so many years just teaching those children every single night, printing out Bible verses and making those children memorize Bible verses and just showing them the importance. And I think that that's where my love for children has come in. And I think that since I was saved at an early age, since I was in church so much, and because of my parents' influence, I know that kids can be saved at an early age. And there's so much pulling our children, pulling the teenagers, pulling the elementary. But I think if we can grasp them when they're 3, 4, and 5 and teach them scriptures and teach them about the love of God and teach them that church is important, church is fun, church is awesome, I think that we can keep them. In fact, it's been told that children that go to church as a child with their parents are more likely to go to church as an adult with their children later. And so it's important that we as parents are faithful to the house of God and we go to church, but instilling that into our children at a young age. Don't ever apologize for a busy week with your kids and say, you know, oh, I just feel so bad. They had to be in church 3 nights this week. That's a good thing. Our children are learning. Our children are growing. And as a teacher, it's important that we are teaching, that we are getting those Bible principles into their lives at that young age. Preschoolers, if you know anything about them, they're super busy. And it's important that we have a structure. So if you look at your outline, just a few points that I will go through quickly. But the first thing is preparation. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, it's listed in your notes. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. And preschoolers are not by nature orderly, and they're not going to be organized, and they're not going to have, you know, they're not just going to walk in and have a seat and sit down. They're going to be running everywhere unless we structure them, unless we teach them, unless we have things planned. Their attention spans are like this big. So we have to move quickly from one thing to the next. And so the first thing under preparation is the lesson. And the lesson, I put a couple things, just have themes. Themes are great for preschoolers because they can grasp it and they will review it and they will know it. You can review the themes, and that way they're not going home from church saying, what did you learn about? And it's like Jesus or God, because kids don't remember things for very long. But if you have a theme and you're going over it week to week to week, it kind of helps them and it grounds it into their little minds. Some of the themes that I have, fruits of the Spirit, we've done that in our four-year-old boys class. In learning the different fruits of the Spirit, you can go back and review them and go over them each week, just building it. Creation, the days of creation, God's attributes. Right now we're going through the miracles of God. So every week we're talking about God's power and how God was able to do a miracle. Now I teach the boys class, so I have to think like boys. I have to think what's going to excite them. The last theme we did was the armor of God, and we had a blast with it. The boys loved it, and we just enjoyed being boys as far as getting out the swords and fighting the devil with the different parts of the armor of God. So think of a theme. Think on their level. Themes are great because it sticks in their mind longer. Second under the lesson is make it fun. Make it fun. Use a puppet. Use an object lesson. Let them participate. You know, some people tell me, I'm only teaching the three-year-olds, and it's really hard to get them to sit for even 5 minutes. So how can I teach them a lesson? And you don't have to stand at a pulpit and read them a Bible verse or read them a passage of Scripture or read them a lesson out of a book to be teaching. You can teach by using examples of things, using object lessons. On Sunday, we talked about the miracle that God was walking on the water, and we made sailboats for our craft, and we made the sailboats, and we got a big pool of water, and we floated the boats while I taught the lesson, and we did so that they were involved in it, so that it was fun, so that I could talk to them and ask them questions about the lesson and about what it would be like if you blow on the water. It makes the boat go, you know, all different directions. This is how it would be like. And just getting them involved. Let them participate. You can make your kids be the people in the Bible to act out the story. Let them help you with the lesson. It doesn't have to be just reading a lesson out of a book, because that won't keep their attention. They're only 3, 4, and 5. They want to be involved. They want to get their hands dirty and really get into the story. The third thing is crafts. crafts, and I don't know how I have it listed on your notes, but it's the lesson, and then it's the crafts. I'm a big craft person, and so I like to send home something every week with the boys. Sometimes it's not anything extreme, but just something that they can take home that shows their parents what we learned about, but also something fun for them to remember the lesson by. For the armor of God, we had the belt of truth that I made, and we had the breastplate of righteousness, just simple things, the helmet of salvation. We had the shield of the Spirit, and we brought little darts, and we had them throw it at their darts to remind them of the fiery darts that Satan does. Foam stickers are awesome for 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds because it's something they can do. They can take the pack off. They can put the stickers on. We got lots of foam stickers, and they decorated all this stuff. And so make them easy, the prayer journal. So there was all kinds of things, the sword of the Spirit. On this one, I did a label. and I had them stick the label on here with the Bible verse. But lots of fun ideas that you can come up with for the armor of God and the boys, just something that they can take home and tell their mom, we learned about this, the helmet of salvation, and making sure that our minds are clear and have God's word hidden in our minds to help us fight against Satan's attacks. And it doesn't have to be anything extreme. With the belt, we had them learn that lying is wrong. And that was the main truth that I tried to get across there. We don't lie to our parents, because three-year-olds, they're going to lie about everything. Did you clean your room? Did you pick up your toys? Oh, yes. But did they? No. They never intended to pick up their room. So they can relate very well to that because of lying. And the belt of truth was to help them remember we don't lie. We make sure that we're telling the truth all the time. So crafts, I try to pick something that's not hard for them to do. I mentioned the foam stickers. Glue sticks are the best friends of 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. It doesn't matter if they get it all over the place because it's just glue and it washes. So glue sticks are perfect. You can have them glue things. Think on their level, like I already said. With boys, the armor of God just was something fun for them because they're into the superheroes and, you know, all the fun boy things. So they loved it, and it was something they could relate to. We're fighting against Satan and applying that way. I try to line the craft up with my story every week. So it's okay to do like a craft every now and then that doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, but I like to send home things that kind of go right with the lesson, and it reinforces what you've already taught them. And so that way the craft, the lesson, everything goes together, and you're just keep the lesson moving so that they know this all goes together. Put the memory verse on it. I tried to write the verses on everything so that when they go home, they're playing with their shield of faith and it's got the verse right there. And they can say, oh yeah, I have to memorize my verse. And so write the verse out. Let them take that home with their thing, because they're excited to show mom and dad their craft that they made. And if you write the verse, it's easy for them. Game time. Game time doesn't have to be an expensive, or it doesn't have to always be duck, duck, goose or red light, green light. There's lots of things that you can come up with that are fun for them. When we did the armor of God, we talked about building our muscles and getting ready to fight. And so we did exercises for every single class period. When we came in, we did our jumping jacks. We did our running in place. We did arm circles. We were building our muscles so that we could fight against Satan and against his attacks. So exercises is a good way to get rid of their energy. They can play and they can stand in one spot, but they enjoyed it. It wasn't work for them. Play-Doh you can bring, Nerf shooter type things. We used that against the shield of faith. We had them shoot against that. The spoon relay, you can get spoons and have them do a relay back and forth. Don't drop your jelly beans or whatever you put in the spoon. Bean bag throws. Bean bags are super cheap. So you can have different sections set up in your room and have them do different games just to kind of do an organized playtime rather than just letting them come into class and run crazy for an hour or whatever you do. Rings are very inexpensive. Just have something organized. And if it goes with the lesson, then great, because that will kind of reinforce everything that you've taught them so that they get the lesson, the craft, and they get their game time, and you're saying, this is all about fighting against Satan, or it all kind of correlates and goes together. So the first thing is preparation, and after listening to my first point, you're probably thinking, this is a lot of work, and it really is. 3-5-year-olds, you can't run as a nursery. Nursery, you just expect to go into a classroom and let the kids play with the toys, maybe color or whatever, but for preschool, it's work. You have to have every minute organized, and I usually try to have more than enough stuff planned so that if something goes wrong or if service goes later, I have extra stuff that we can just pull out and do, like the games or whatever, that kind of go with my lesson. The second point is simplification. Make it simple. The Bible tells us that salvation can be learned even from a child. It takes the faith of a child to be able to understand. And so God has created salvation in such a simple way. And yet sometimes we try to complicate it. Oh, they can't be ready. They're only 4. or they're only five, and we think, what if they're not really sure? Well, let's let them decide, okay? And so I don't ever do invitations in my preschool classes. I don't ever lead a child to the Lord in my classes. I let the parents do all of that, but I am certainly going to be teaching it. I am certainly going to nail into them that sin is sin, and they do wrong, and I'm going to try to relate it as best I can that they are sinners, and that if they don't get saved, they won't be able to go to heaven, because we want them at that age to start understanding and start thinking about, this is not right, the way that you're acting. And so we as teachers have a great responsibility to make sure that they do understand. And if we're not teaching it, then who's going to teach it, you know? And the parents obviously will be as well, but this is church, so we should be teaching them those things at an early age. So don't complicate the whole plan of salvation. Help them to understand it at an early age. Make things simple. Your lessons don't need to have 4 points and a poem and, you know, all the things that preachers have. For preschoolers, I try to get 1 point across. And whatever the lesson is, if it's obeying our parents, if it's being kind to one another, if it's not lying, you know, one thing. And then I try to map everything around it, and I just keep telling them over and over, this is why we're not doing this, or this is what we want you to get, so that they get that one main point. And then I just create my craft around it. I create the game, everything to go with the lesson so that they understand this is what we're trying to get across today. So when they go home, they can tell their mom, yep, I learned about prayer today. I made a prayer journal and drew pictures and things that will remind me to pray for one another and pray without ceasing. Pray not just for our food, but for everything, and to ask God and to just ground that into their heart. Now, we as adults, we need reminders all the time, I mean, of things. Because we, you know, even if we're told to read our Bibles and to pray, sometimes we don't. I mean, let's be honest, right? We still have to be reminded. So how much more a 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old needs to be reminded to be kind, to obey their parents, to not lie, to tell the truth, to be honest, those type of things. So emphasize it, make it simple, make it something easy for them to grasp. You don't have to just, you know, in your lessons, just make them so confusing and maybe like, did you get all 3 points? Don't forget all 3 points. So just make it simple for them. And then thirdly is memorization. Memorization. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is an important one for me. All of us can probably think back to a verse. We'll hear a verse maybe said, and we'll think, you know what? I learned that when I was in third grade, or I learned that passage, or had to memorize that passage when I was in second grade, or first grade, or whatever. And all of us can think back, you know, scriptures that are important, and we still have them in our brain. And, you know, memorization is so important. These 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can memorize like you wouldn't believe. I mean, sometimes they play like they don't know how to talk and they don't know how to do things, but those kids are smart. And I have kids every week saying verses in my class. And so don't put it past them. Don't think they can't memorize a verse. Now, they can't memorize a passage. And they can't maybe memorize a whole verse, but they can definitely memorize truths and parts of verses that we can break down for them. And so if we are having them memorize, we're filling their minds with something good, with something wholesome. And once again, those verses are going to come back, and they're going to be reminded of that verse that they memorized years down the line that will be able to help them. And right now, our world is so wicked, they're putting so much into their minds. The world's feeding them television and all these terrible things, phones. I see like one-year-olds in strollers holding phones and playing games and all these things. All that stuff's going into their head, into their brain. So why not feed them with something great, right? Like scripture, and letting them get that stuff in their mind as well. So scripture memory, they're never too young to start hiding God's word in their heart. It will help them. It will help them. As parents, we should be reminding our children, you know, this is why I don't want you lying, because the Bible says thou shalt not lie. Use verses to reinforce what you're trying to tell them. We obey because the Bible says children obey your parents. It's not just something that's coming out of my mouth that I want you to obey me. It's because God tells us to do that. And we want to give them the reinforcement of scriptures. We did a preschool competition, and I think I brought it, last fall, I guess it was. And we made up little books, and I just had a card per week, 7 weeks of competition that they had to bring. And they had to bring their Bible, bring their offering, they had to memorize a verse, and they had to do a character building task. And each day, we would keep track of these, and they would get a prize if they kept this. And the first verse, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All of them were I think they were all different, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their task was to give out one gospel tract. Any three-year-old can give out a tract to someone that they know. That doesn't mean they have to share their gospel with them, but it's something that they can help with. The second one, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. List one way that you obeyed this week. And we had the parents sign it and tell us how they obeyed. Just different things that you can do. I know you think, well, they're just three. I mean, that's kind of crazy. You're doing a lot. But you know what? They're never too young to start this. And so memorization is an important part to me. I want to make sure that we're giving them everything that we can just to be able to get their minds cleared from everything else that they're going to be putting in from the world. If you put the memory verse on the craft, that's another thing. If you put the memory verse on the craft, we touched on that, it gets the parents involved because the three-year-olds, they can't read. Four-year-olds, they can't read. So the parents have to read the verse to them. So I try to write the verse out. It's convicting to the parents because the kid's like, I got to say my verse. And we as parents need to memorize scripture as well. And it's convicting when your child who's three and four comes home and says, Mom, this is my memory verse, and they rattle off this big, long verse, and you're thinking, when was the last time I memorized a verse? When was the last time that I got a passage memorized like that? And my kids, I mean, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she comes home, and she can rattle off like a whole passage of scripture in school. You know, for school, she's memorizing, and I think, wow, that's amazing. Their minds are sharp, and they can do some amazing things, and it's convicting to me. So if we're putting the verse on their craft and we're sending that home with them, then the parents are reading those verses. They're helping their child. It's getting them involved. It's helping them as a family to grow together, memorizing scriptures. I pass out prizes for memory verses. You may say that's bribing them, but I don't care because I'll spend $15 if I have to a week if I can get those boys to come in and want that prize enough that they'll say their memory verse. And so they'll work for it if you have something behind it. And I think it's important enough that we sacrifice a little bit to get them something that they want to work for and so that they can memorize those scriptures and make a big deal out of it. Wow, Johnny, I cannot believe you memorized this verse. This is a long one this week. You did a great job. Encourage them. Make it a big deal. You get to pick the best prize, you get to pick the first prize, whatever. If they come in and they say their verse, I mean, even some of the ones that just try, if they try to say the verse, even if it's not 100% perfect, I'm like, that's awesome because whatever they're putting in their brains is going to help them. And I'm always thankful for anyone willing to work on it at home and to remind their parents, you know, to help them with it. So definitely memorization, it's an important part of it. On Wednesday nights, we came up with a little book. And this book is just basically, we just have little sections of the book that they work through on Wednesday nights. And for preschoolers, they just have portions of it. And we usually do stamps, and we give them stamps in their passport that let us know that they have said their verses. And it's just short segments. They can color it, but it's also something fun. And so that's on Wednesday nights. We usually have this available for the kids to work through. And so we're grounding them on Wednesday night with some scripture. We do different things just in classes. Individual teachers do different things. But we're trying to get the memory into them at an early age. Number four, the last thing, is repetition. And all of you have probably heard that repetition is the key to learning. It's a teacher's favorite quote. So you have to review. And if you think about any school from kindergarten up, it's basically just review, right? Just adding new concepts to the old concepts. Review, review, review. You're going to learn the alphabet, then you're going to learn your blends, then you're going to add a couple more things and learn words, and you're just going to continue to build that because reviewing is what gets stuck in their head. They need to review things. And so in our preschool classes, it's the same thing. If you're reviewing it with teaching the lesson, having a game, having an object lesson, having a craft, all of it going together, it's reviewing, it's repetition, it's going over the same thing to try to get that one point into their mind to help them throughout the week. And hopefully it will be a reminder for them. Our preschool teachers here at Lancaster Baptist Church are awesome. And I'm very grateful to be able to work with them. I actually just started working in the preschool department about a year and a half ago. And when the pastor asked me, I was like very excited, very humbled to be able to do it. But I just love the age. I feel like teenagers are kind of, I've worked with teenagers and I love teenagers, but I feel like they're kind of almost past the getting them stage. Whereas preschoolers, they just love you no matter what you do. They are just amazing, and I just love that age. I feel like if we can get them when they're 4 or 5 years old, 3, 4, 5, I feel like their teen years are going to be so much better. And I told you I got saved when I was 4, and the Lord has really blessed me in my life. I've been spared from a lot of sin that I didn't have to go through. I wasn't a perfect teenager by any means, but I was pure, and I didn't have drugs in my life. I didn't have the drinking. And there was a lot of things that I didn't have to go through. I didn't have to struggle with or be addicted to because I believe because of my Christian heritage, because I was saved young, I was spared from a lot of that. And when my husband and I had our 3 children, that was my biggest prayer. It was like, Lord, you know, just please help them to understand at an early age. And I didn't push my children into salvation. I never asked them if they wanted to get saved or anything like that. We waited for each of them to come to us and ask us. But I'm telling you what, family devotions, we were nailing it. We wanted them to know that if you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. And we really wanted them. We had a burden for them to be saved at an early age. And we watched all 3 of ours get saved during their preschool years. And I know that it's possible. I know that it's something that they can learn. And I believe it just saves them from a life that could be a wreck. If they're saved early, it keeps them out of a lot of things. And it also just lets them serve the Lord so much longer. And they see the joy of the Lord. And all my children have worked in preschool classes with me. They're 11, 9, and 7. And every week, they're like, are you sure you don't need our help? Because they are the best preschool workers I have in my class. And we don't put them in. I'm not saying that you should schedule a 7-year-old in your class. But they do love to help. And they love to serve with their mom. And I know that my mom taught me to love children, to love serving, to really get these things grounded in them at an early age. And I hope that my children be the same way, where they'll grow up and they'll instill those into their children. And it's an important thing. And I just want to encourage you that your labor is not in vain. It's hard sometimes to get up, go see a classroom of maybe 38, 4-year-olds, and you're like, oh, goodness, it's going to be a rough day. But you know what? Your labor's not in vain in the Lord. And I was going to tell you, our teachers, we've had some that have been here 25 years working in the same 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old class, and those people are reaping the fruit right now. They're seeing grandchildren of the ones that they served when they were 3, 4, and 5, and they thought, good night, this kid's never going to make it. Because we don't have a lot of faith in those 4-year-olds sometimes. We think, wow, they're going to be rough. But now these teachers are actually sticking around long enough that they're able to see them come back with their children, and they're ministering to them. And that's the joy of serving the Lord, is seeing the fruit of it and seeing those children grow up and have their children in church and having their children in the ministry. And that's the exciting part of the preschool ministry. We have a lot longer to watch them grow, and just a great age, full of energy, full of full of excitement, and we just, I love it. And I think that if we can just see that it's important that we're teaching them, not just letting them run and letting them play, those things are important, but they can do that anytime, right? So watching movies or whatever, there's a time for those outside of church, but at church, really grasping the love of God in their lives. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So remember that, even on those Sundays that are rough. So let's have a word of prayer. Thank you so much for coming. I'm letting you go early, but thank you for being here. And if you're traveling today, we're praying that you have a safe trip, and tomorrow for sure. So thank you for coming. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for just the opportunity we have to serve you and to teach these young lives, Lord. And I pray that you would just help our fruit to be evident in their lives, even as they grow and as they mature, that we would be teaching them something that's important, and that they would just, their little minds would grasp the truth, and that they would be saved early on, and that you would just help these people as they go home and minister to their children, that they would see fruit from their labors. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. Give us safety as we travel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.